Okay, so I wanted to start with a story. You know, people give me a lot of good material. So about 2 weeks ago, I went to Shul on Shabbat, not shaven, right? Sfirat HaOmer. And this guy comes up to me and says, "You look terrible. What are you in mourning?" I said, "Actually, yeah."
Sort of.
Yeah, and he said, "Oh, really? Who are you mourning for?" And I said, "Well, 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva, right?" And he goes, "Oh, really? Well, do you know who they were? Do you know when they died, how they died, where they died? You know, I know that 6 million Jews died, and I know where and how and who." I said, "Okay." And he goes, "Nobody's mourning for a month for them. And what about all of the generations of Jews? There's been surely more than 24,000 people killed many times over. Why aren't you mourning for them?" And so I was about to try to answer, and then he said, "And you know, another thing, I don't really understand how it is that you can take this biblical period of joy and turn it into this period of mourning.
Correct.
Where do you come off?" And I was going to try and then he went back again, and I realized that he was not interested in hearing what I had to say. And so I turned around and walked away.
Well, you should have invited the shiur.
Right. Yeah. So I'm going to, hopefully we'll give the shiur. I'm giving the shiur in the show. So he'll get to hear my answer.
Oh, but someone like right from the front.
From the front, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So to his credit, the next Shabbat he came and shook my hand. So I guess he understood that, you know, something was wrong. But in any case, the questions are actually valid questions, right? And I like to try to answer them in a significant way. You know, I went through a lot of sources, and it's not just like standing on one leg kind of thing about what we all know we might have answered. So now, if we start with the first source, which is in Parshat Emor, right? In Parshat Emor, we go through all the holidays. And here in source number one, so you have the holiday period of the Omer, right? It says, "Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta lahem, ki tabo'u el ha'aretz asher ani noten lachem." I bolded these words just because we should really be aware that this whole thing about Sfirat HaOmer is when we're in the land. And it's not just the land, it's the land that God gave us. And so Sfirat HaOmer really is connected to us being a nation in our land and being a nation of God, right? And so that's also part of this whole picture. Uktzartem et ktzirah vahevetem et omer reshit kitzirchem el kohen. And so we're supposed to take these first crops and bring them to the kohen and the Beit HaMikdash. Ve'nif et haomer lifnei Hashem litzornchem mimacharat haShabbat. And so the kohen does this little ritual waving in the temple. And when is this? It's at the day after Shabbat. And this is, of course, the source of a great machloket, which is another whole shiur, which is very interesting. But I quote here just, you know, the Prushim's answer to the question, which is our answer to the question. Rashi says, "Mimocharat yom tov harishon shel Pesach." So this waving of the Omer starts the day after Pesach. And then we continue. There's three dots. There's all kinds of korbanot issues. "Usfartim lachem mimocharat haShabbat." And we are supposed to count these days from after Pesach, miyom habiyachem et omer hatnufa, sheva shabbatot tmimot tiena. And we count these 7 whole weeks. Ad mimacharat haShabbat haShvi'it tisperu 50 yom. Until you will get to the count of 50 days, vigravtem nincha chadasha laHashem, and you bring another korban there. Ukratem be'etzem hayom hazeh mikra kodesh. So you call this day a holy convocation. This is the holiday that we know is Shavuot. Okay? So that we all know, this is basically the idea with this guy from the show was saying. This is a biblical holiday. This is a biblical period. This is from holiday to holiday. This is not a time to be mourning. And if you weren't sure about it from the words, so the Ramban here says some amazing things. He's now talking about Shmini Atzeret. And then within his discussion about Shmini Atzeret, he tells us about the Atzeret, which is Chag Shavuot. It says here, "B'yom Shmini mikra kodesh yelachem v'hikravtem isha la'ashem atzeret hi." So this is, again, talking about Shmini Atzeret. So the Ramban says, Atzeret hi kisham, so the merit, "B'yom achar sukot shehu Shmini Atzeret, ne'etzar hakol." So it's called an Atzeret because this is when everything stopped. We celebrated 7 days of Sukkot, did all kinds of things which are universalistic in nature. The 8th day is all for the Jewish people, and we stop with God well-known ideas. Now, the Ramban says, "V'tziva b'chag hamatzot shiva yamim b'kedusha lifnehem u'achnehem ki kulam kedoshim u'betocham Hashem." So Pesach is a seven-day holiday. It's holy in and of itself. God is within it. Umanami menu tishav arba'im yom sheva shevatot. And so from Pesach, now we count 49 days. Kimei olam, like he's saying, like the weeks are the weeks, the days of the weeks, the days of creation. So you have 7 days, 7 weeks. The kadesh yom shmini. And you make the eighth day holy, which is he's saying is the 50th day. If we say these 7 weeks are like 7 days, so then the 50th day is like the eighth day. And so he says, "Kashmini shel chag, v'hayamim hasfurim bein taim kecholo shel moed bein harishon v'hashmini b'chag v'hu yom matan Torah." So now, what he's saying is, like we said, this is a biblical time. This is a happy time. This is not only that. He is saying it's Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed has a huge status, right? I mean, Chol HaMoed, it's Moed, right? We're supposed to go around, have tiulim, have parties, right? We're supposed to have a nice time. We're not supposed to be mourning, right? So now, what happened? The guy was right. What business do I have walking around half-shaven? So the Beit Yosef comes and tells us a beginning of an answer. He says, "V'haran katav rov ha'mefarshim maskimim d'sfirat ha'omer hashta d'leka haba ve'lo korban eina ela midarabanan ba'alma zecher la'mikdash." So he says that today when we count Sfirat ha'omer, it's true, it was a biblical holiday, but it was connected to bringing the korbanot, bringing the omer in the beginning, bringing the mincha at the end. So we don't have any of that.
So it's Pesach.
What's that?
So it's Pesach.
That's true. Okay, fine. But so now what he says here, and you'll see what the difference is, he says that this counting that we're doing is Zecher LaMikdash. It's nothing more, it's a memorial. It's a memory of what was, okay? But now there's different kinds of Zecher LaMikdash. Rav Soloveitchik says that there's two kinds. There's Zecher LaMikdash, which is sort of like a happier thing, and Zecher LaChurban. So now where does this fall? Actually, Rav Soloveitchik brings this next source, the Baal HaMa'or, to discuss it. Yeah?
Good question. Okay, now, the Beit Yosef saying it's Zecher LaMikdash in contradistinction to Yom Matan Torah?
Yeah. Because those are Chagim straight from the Torah, right? Exactly. The counting, in contradistinction to the way we keep our holidays, which we are keeping the biblical holiday, we are not keeping anybody's biblical count. Okay, this is no biblical count. And wait till we read what Rav Soloveitchik says. What is this count?
Okay.
So now the Ma'or, the Baal HaMa'or says something very interesting. He asks a question. He says, look, when we get to any mitzvah, we say, Asher Kedushanu, Shachianu B'Kiyamanu, right? We are happy to be here. Look at this, we're making Kiddush in our sukkah. We're taking our lulav. We're eating matzah. All these kinds of mitzvot, which are in time, we say, Shachianu, thanks for getting us here. So he says, why aren't we saying thanks for getting us here when we count the Sfira? It's a mitzvah that we're doing. It's a biblical holiday. It's time, period, anyway. Uvisfirat ha'omer, yesh sho'alim, mahatam. She'ein anu omrim bo zman. Zot demeret birkat shachianu. So now if you skip down to this, the underlined part, it says, Shelo matzeinu birkat zman, birkat shachianu, ela bedavar sheyesh bo shum hana'ah. So he says, you don't find saying shachianu unless you're having some kind of benefit. So now he gives you an example. Kagon netilat lulav, shehu ba lesimcha. When we wave the lulav, we say shachianu because it's part of our whole simchat achag. Okay? V'tkiyat shofar l'zikaron bein Yisrael l'aviyam sheva shamayim. So we have some kind of benefit that the shofar accomplishes some kind of connection between us and God. However, in contradistinction to that, so if you look at the last underlined part, so it says, v'ulesfirat ha'omer ein bo zecher l'shum hana'a ela l'ogmat nafshenu l'chorban beit ma'avyenu. He says, are you kidding? When you count the Omer, you feel bad. You do not feel good. You don't get any benefit out of this. This is Zecher LaMikdash in a bad way. We remember that we don't have the Mikdash. We're not doing anything that we're supposed to be doing with the Mikdash. Now here, look what Rav Soloveitchik says. In the absence of the actual sacrifice of the Omer barley, Chazal did not ordain a rabbinic fulfillment of the original mitzvah of Svirat HaOmer. This is not some kind of little parallel thing that the rabbis want us to go, okay, you can't do it all the way, do it this way. No. They merely required a token commemoration to recall the mitzvah as it had been performed when conditions allowed. Implementing today's quasi-sphira, he doesn't even call it a sphira, quasi-sphira does not constitute a fulfillment of Svirat HaOmer. It is, rather, a fulfillment of the rabbinic requirement to express as Zecher LaMikdash. Therefore, we do not count both days and weeks in our artificial simulation. How bad can you get? Not just a simulation, an artificial simulation. This is like a reflection or something, right? We do not count both days and weeks in our artificial simulation of the ancient Svirat HaOmer. We indicate deliberately, by counting in a compromised manner, that we are no longer able to perform the mitzvah authentically and that we are merely simulating it in artificial as an expression of Zecher HaMikdash. The Baalei Tosfot...
We're counting it the way they counted it.
Yes, we are counting it the way they counted it. We're not counting it. Apparently, I think what he's getting at is that, you know, we don't count... We say, Hayom Yom Zed LaOmer.
Okay.
We don't say the Yamim Veshavuot. We tack on the Shavuot after we've already said just the day of the Omer.
Okay.
That's the difference. And there they would count the days and the weeks.
So wait, we don't count the days and the weeks?
No, we count only one. We count either the day, we count the days.
And then the weeks.
No, but we add that on after we said La Omer.
Okay.
So now, the Baalei Tosfot would then be saying that we recite in their times they said Yehi Ratzon, we say Harachaman. After we say the count of the Omer, Hayom Yom Ze La Omer, we say Harachaman Hu Yivarech, Harachaman Hu Yachzir Lanu Beit HaMikdash Limkoma Bimra Amenu, right? So now, why are we saying that? So he says here, We say this after our quasi-sphira to further indicate that we have expressed merely a zecher lechurban. This is all very negative. The whole biblical aspect, the whole joy, the whole Chol HaMoed business, it's gone. It's gone because we have no mikdash. Okay? So now, this is even before we even touch any mourning simanim that we are doing. This is just the way it is. Accept reality. You have no temple, so you have no biblical Svirat HaOmer. What you are doing is supposed to remind you that you are living in a not good place, in a not whole place. Okay? So now that brings us to the question of what are these simanei avelut for, if they're not connected to the fact that we don't have the mikdash. So the Torah says, Noagin בכל המקומות שלא לישא אישה בין פסח לעצרת, ועתם שלא להרבות בשמחה שבאותו זמן מתו תלמידי רבי עקיבא. So he says, why do we not marry women at this time? Because we're not supposed to increase in joy because the students of Rabbi Akiva died. Okay, so all of the simanei, and he brings over here that you don't get haircuts, all the simanei avelut that we do now are only because of this. Or only because Rabbi Akiva's students died.
Well, why aren't we doing it because we're sad anyway?
I mean, right. Oh,
are we mourning or are we just, is there a difference between sad and mourning?
Yes, there is. And we're going to get to that. Yes, you're 100% right. And we're also going to get to the fact that why is it now, when this is this mourning period, they all tie in, 100%. But right now, in this halacha, what you see is that the simanei avelut are for Rabbi Akiva's students. Okay, so now what happened with Rabbi Akiva's students? Everybody knows, famous Gemara in Yevamot, Daf Samach Bet. It says, Shneim asar elef zugim talmidim hayu lo l'Rabbi Akiva migvat ad antipras v'chulan metu beperek echad mipnei shelo nagu kavod ze laze v'haya olam shamem. So that Rashi says v'nishkecha Torah. So the Gemara is telling us in this period, which it says below here, kulam metu mipesach ad atzeret. So exactly during this time of Svirat HaOmer, these 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died, and why did they die? Because they did not honor each other.
So when they say Atzeret,
they mean Shavuot.
But the custom is not to go.
Right. Okay, so then they're going to say, so then they go on here and it talks about that it was it was till Lag BaOmer. That's why there's the difference of opinions, because there are opinions that it was till Lag BaOmer, whatever. What we do know from this Gemara is that it's in this whole sphere of period. Okay.
So it's in about Yom HaTzmaut in the middle here. We have to really, if we're doing it, feel, listen, it's a Yom Tov Dick experience enough that it pushes everything away.
Well, you'll see. Well, you'll see. The fact of the matter is, and that's what I want to make a very strong point here, is that it's not the Avel of the Tisha Yamim. It's not. There's something very distinct here. And I think this is what answers the claim against me about why don't I walk around with a beard for the month for the Shoah or anything else. What's happening here is, if you look, the Torah uses very specific language when he talks about the Tishat Hayamim. He says, Misha nechnas av, mema'atin besimcha. Now that's, of course, a quote from the Gemara in Ta'anit, but that's how he talks about the halachot that are related to the 9 days. We are mema'et besimcha. We have to reduce simcha. Right? In Adar we increase simcha. In Av we reduce simcha. What's happening in Sfirat HaOmer? Lo laharbot besimcha. Lo laharbot. That means you do what you do. We're not going down to the 9 days, and we're not going up to the Adar. We stay the same. Just don't get out of control. So weddings are out of control. Okay? But so we're saying that this is something very different than Tishat HaYamim. This is something very different than the full avelut of somebody that died. And so now, if you turn over the page, Rav Ovadia, in a halachic answer about what are the minhagim of Sfirat HaOmer, he distinguishes between these two periods. So he says like this in the underlined part, She'atam she'en nosim nashim b'yamei ha'sfira mishum minhag avelut. Now I'll skip to the underlined parts. V'lechora, kevan she'yamei ha'sfira halalu hem yamei avelut, yesh linhog b'hem ki yamim she'bitchilat chodesh ab. He says, look, these are mourning days, the days of Sfira. These are mourning days, the days of 9 days. So whatever we do in the 9 days, we should do in the days of Sfira. Don't ask questions. But then he says, ulam, however, le'achar ha'hitbonenut nira she'yesh chiluk gadol. After I looked into this, there is a huge difference, right? Chiluk gadol, not just a little difference. Bein yemei chodesh av hanal lebein yemei ha'sfira. Ki b'chodesh av she'iru bo churban beit hamikdash v'shar puraniyot ha'mevo'arim b'mishnah ta'anit hu zman shel ason klali la'am Yisrael v'nikba b'chia ledorot ch'magalim chova liyom chayav. So he says here that the whole character of the 9 days is one of bad things happening, of evil, and so we need to be on guard. And why is that? Because those days anyway were bad days, and so he uses this expression of that we roll on somebody who has some kind of obligation, more obligations. We roll on the bad period, more bad things, and so. What he's saying is the 9 days are a very negative time for the Jewish people, and so there's a very specific laws of mourning during that time. I mean, it was already a bad period because we blew it. Then it was a bad period multiple times over, right, with the spies and with the mikdash and with everything that's gone on. So that's a different thing than the days of the Sfira. The days of the Sfira did not start out bad like the 9 days. Here he says, Aval, Yemei ha-sfira mitzad atzmam einam nechshavim liyemei puranut chaz v'shalom. Adaraba, katav ha-Ramban. So he says the days of Sfira are not thought of as bad days, and that just the opposite. And he quotes the Ramban that we read before. Shekedushat yemei ha-sfira ki yemei chol ha-moed. The Sfira is like chol ha-moed. It's a good time. It's a holy time. So now he goes on and he says, if we skip to the underlying part, v'rak simcha shel nisuin shehi simcha yeteira huzharnu limana mimana bimei hasfira. And so he says, only this extra simcha are we obligated to refrain from. So like having a wedding. But so now here in the context of his of the halacha, he was saying you can move into a new house, you can paint a house, you can say Shechianu on new fruits. None of those things you're allowed to do in the 9 days, right? So what I want to do, what I want to say here is I want to lay to rest this idea that we are mourning over the deaths of 24,000 students. We are not mourning over the deaths of anybody. We are mourning over the loss of these 24,000 students. And that's what we need to understand. What does that mean?
But I'm sorry. Look,
okay, go ahead.
Just say what you said again.
Okay. We're not mourning over their death. We're mourning over their loss. And what I mean by loss is not that they died, but that they did something fundamentally wrong within the Jewish people that caused, or it caused at that time the whole Torah to be lost, and we need to learn from it. We are mourning what was wrong with them. Well, we are mourning what was wrong with the Jewish with the 24,000 students. We are not mourning that they died.
I thought we're mourning the loss of the Mikdash.
No.
And this is secondary.
Right. Okay. So what I said was like this. Okay. There are absolutely no mourning laws instituted for the loss of the Mikdash during the Sfirat HaOmer. Zero. Okay. We say Sfirat HaOmer, and we don't say Shechianu because we lost the Mikdash. But okay, if you want to call that a mourning observance. But that's really very specific on just that mitzvah. What we are not cutting our beards and having haircuts and having weddings is only for the 24th.
And not for the loss of the baby.
Right.
But wait.
Okay.
I can understand, we can say, okay, we're staying at this level.
Yeah.
So therefore we won't have a wedding.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
But I consider the beard and everything, the wedding is a spike up, that's a spike down.
Right.
Okay, so I don't see any justification yet
right.
to say that we can go down from there. If we're either right. going to be at that level plane right. or we're going to...
Right. I hear what you're saying.
I see half the argument, I don't see the other
right.
one.
Right, right. I guess in the eyes of Chazal, so like not cutting your beard is not really a going down. It's just like you're not getting to enjoy yourself. Like maybe shaving or cutting or making yourself, beautifying yourself is like too much. That would maybe be extra.
When the Kohanim are told you can't let your hair grow long even when you're mourning and things and stuff.
Right.
So it's clearly a sign that's not a normal sign.
Okay, I
don't
agree.
Think it can be explained as a beautification.
Okay, fine. So, all right.
I thought that there was a war going on and the Romans are censoring what's happening and they couldn't come out and talk about it. So this is really a euphemism. Possible war disaster, which makes a lot more sense than they didn't respect each other. And they died.
Oh, okay. Which so we're gonna. Okay,
really,
so I want to. Okay.
Ridiculous.
No. Okay. Yeah. 100% right. I think it's ridiculous, but that's the next section. I want to answer your question about the cutting the hair. Even though this is not a full mourning period, and we've shown that, okay, I believe that there is some kind of necessity to express the loss of the 24,000 students. There needs to be something. If we just say hold it completely, you know, that's talking about holding at simcha level, but not holding it in a regular daily basis. We need to make some kind of change. Okay, and so we're going to use this siman avelud. It's a siman avelud, but it doesn't really take too much skin off of your back. But it does show that something's different, and we need to show that something's different. Okay, so what I want to say is, what is different, and why is it different? And that's exactly what your question was. Is doesn't it seem a bit ridiculous that these 24,000 students died because they didn't honor each other enough? And isn't it even more ridiculous that we have these simane avelut for a month because they didn't honor each other? I mean, come on, right? Because now I'm not saying they're simanim because they died, it's because they didn't honor each other. So what is that about? So I started trying to think on my own. What could possibly this be, right? I looked at all these answers, I didn't find anything that was interesting. So I said, there must be the 24,000 has some kind of connection. Where's 24,000 come up in the Torah?
There's 12,000 pairs that go to war.
Okay, the 12,000 pairs, you know, they're chevrutot, and so they should really be honoring each other. Exactly. There's 24,000 people is the greatest plague that God brought on the Jewish people in the desert with the Benot Moav, right? That 24,000 people died, okay? So now I said, maybe this is pushing it, you know, like the 24,000 Jews of Rabbi Akiva are connected to the 24,000 people that died in Benot Moab. So I did some searches and I found a midrash. It says here, take a look at this Yalkut Chadash. It's right after the Rav Avadah, the second source. Esrim va'arba elef talmidei Rabbi Akiva shemetu haya ba'avon shitim kisham naflu esrim va'arba elef. Now, so he's saying that their sin, they sinned a sin. And it's the parallel to the sin that was done in Shittim. So now what was done in Shittim? It says here, that I bring the Malbim. B'Shittim, Pirtzu B'znut, V'Avodah Zarah L'Beit Pa'or, V'Haya Reshit Chatat L'Beit Yisrael. Now he says, they basically committed two of the main cardinal sins. They committed Gilui Arayot and Avodah Zarah, immorality and idol worship. And that, the Malbim says, was the first, not the first as in the Jews had sinned already many times before, but the first meaning the worst, the greatest, the top of the list of bad sins. And in fact, 24,000 is the biggest number recorded that God wiped out people. Okay? So, the question is, how in the world can we dare compare the 24 Talmidei HaChamim that didn't honor each other with what went on there, cardinal sins? Okay? So now, the first answer I bring from this Daf al Daf, he also asks your question. It says here, V'ki kol kach chamur hu ma shelo nagu kavod zeh lazeh. Is it really so terrible that they didn't honor each other? Shekulam metu al avon zeh, that they all died because of that? Tshuva, heim hayu tzrichim lanhig et hador v'hayu lamedin mehem. These people were the leaders of the generation that everybody learns from. V'inyan shel midot hu, and this is an issue of personal qualities. V'lachach lo hayta etza acheret. And because of that, there was nothing else to do but to kill them. Okay, so what are they saying? He's saying leaders get judged a little bit closer. Okay, leaders get judged a little bit harsher. It's true that, you know, if we don't lend each other, if we don't act with the most kavod, so it's not nice, it's not right, but if you're the leader and everybody's looking to you, so now you're much more culpable. Okay, we can all accept that to a certain degree, but I think it's much more than that. Okay, I think these people were the leaders. They were the Torah leaders. Without them, there were no Torah leaders. That's what the Gemara told us. These guys are the Jewish leaders for the entire generation. They are the entire leadership. And they blew it. Now they blew it with not being honoring each other, but they weren't just the students of anybody. They were the students of Rabbi Akiva. And what did Rabbi Akiva teach? V'after recha kamocha, right? I bring here, it says in the Gemara in Yerushalmi, it's also in Midrash Rabbah, it's also in Yalkut Shimoni. V'after recha kamocha, Rabbi Akiva omer, zehu klal gadol betorah. This is the great fundamental principle, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Rabbi Akiva's, that's like his ultimate teaching, right? And these students didn't get it. So they didn't get this ultimate teaching.
Or he got it after the students.
Right, okay, it could be like that, but nevertheless, I don't think...
After the students died.
It could be, but it doesn't mean... There's still no stira, because this is what his essence was. This is what Rabbi Akiva was about, okay? That they didn't get that. And this is klal gadol b'torah, okay? This is the general principle. Now, there's many ways to understand. There's all kinds of mifarshim, but what does it mean? Klal gadol b'torah. Rav Yehuda Ashna explains that what it means is it's the whole Torah. He says there are 613 mitzvot. The other 612 outside of v'after lecha kamocha are basically to get you to do v'after lecha kamocha. It's all one thing. The whole Torah is v'after lecha kamocha. And if you don't buy that, so look at what Rav Hirsch says. Rav Hirsch says, "Ein hi hamitzvah of v'after lecha kamocha mishutetet al achat mikavonotav." This mitzvah that you have to love your neighbor is not based on any kind of rationale that you say, oh, it's a good thing, you know, I'll have good relations, we'll get along. No, it doesn't have anything to do with that. He says, Ela mitama ni Hashem. He says the whole reason is that it says, I am God. That's what it says at the end of the verse. After lecha kamocha ani Hashem. B'shem Hashem hi mutelet aleinu. This mitzvah comes to us as a chok, as it were. It comes on us because God said so. B'yachas lekol abriyot, and we're supposed to relate to all of the creations, all creatures, with loving as our neighbor. Shaharei, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Shaharei hu shekava et yehud kulam liyot re'im zeh lezeh. The yehud, our destiny, our purpose as people is to be re'im, is to be friendly, is to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he says, is the whole point, the whole goal of the Torah is to get you to love your neighbor as yourself. It's incredibly difficult. You go to the Mefarshim, it's close to impossible. That's what the Torah is about. That's what the world is about. It's about getting to implement V'Aftar Lecha Kamocha. Now, if these guys weren't able to do that, so they basically lost the legitimacy of their reign, right? I mean, if they're supposed to be the ones who represent the Torah, and the Torah is all about love your neighbor as yourself, whether Rabbi Akiva said it before or after, that's what that comes out, right? V'Aftar Lecha Kamocha is the Torah. The Torah is V'Aftar Lecha Kamocha. All the things that we do are in order to get us to be re'im. That's the Yehud. Okay? So now, if that's not enough, this brings us back to Sfirat HaOmer. You look at the Sefer HaChinuch. So he says, Misharshei HaMitzvah Al Tzad HaPshat. So we all know that whenever the Sefer HaChinuch says Misharshei HaMitzvah, he's saying, what is the philosophical essence? What is the philosophy underlying this mitzvah? And we're talking about counting Sfirat HaOmer. Lefi Shekol Ikaran Shel Yisrael Eino Ela HaTorah. The whole essence of the Jewish people is the Torah. Okay. V'hi ha'ikar v'hasibah shenigalu v'yatsu mimitzrayim. And that's the whole reason we got saved from Egypt. Kadesh she'yikablu ha'torah b'sinai v'kaimuha. The whole point of leaving Egypt was to go and get the Torah and fulfill it. And he says here, v'inyan gadol hu lahem yoter min ha'chirut me'avdut. He says, this coming out of Egypt to be the people of the Torah is far more important and far greater an issue than leaving Egypt to become free people from being slaves. Slaves to being free people, that's nice. That's not what we're about. That's not what we're talking about.
We reach out to them. It's bad story after bad story. Why wait for now to wipe out the people during an occupation of Rome? It's the worst time. And it's seemingly, it's not like this, they just out of the blue do them. Jews are having a problem for 1,000 years here.
Apparently this was the time. I can't, these are Cheshbonot Shamayim already, right? Alright, so now,
and death is a very strong,
right? So look, it says here that the point I want to make with the Sefer HaChinuch is that the whole point of coming out of Egypt, of celebrating Pesach, is to get to Shavuot. And that's what he says here. Mipnechen nitztavinu lemanot mimocharat yom tov shel Pesach ad yom netinat haTorah laharot benafshenu hachafetz b'hagadol al el hayom hanichbad hanechsaf lelibenu. So he says, the whole reason we're counting this Sfirat HaOmer is to make that connection. Okay? You need to understand that it's Chol HaMoed. You need to understand that Pesach and Shavuot are directly connected. That the whole reason we're celebrating Pesach is so that we celebrate Shavuot. There is no meaning otherwise. We count the days to connect the two events. That the purpose of Am Yisrael is the Torah. That's not so hard to understand. Now, the whole purpose of the Torah is what I said, is V'Aftar Lecha Kamocha. And that means that you can't become the Torah nation if you do not sign up to this idea of being Re'im. And that's exactly what Rashi explains on the Pasuk, that when we got to Har Sinai. So in Shemot Perek Yud Tet, the next source, Vayisu mirefidim v'yavou midbar Sinai v'yachanu b'midbar v'yichan sham Yisrael neged ahar. So Rashi notices that all the words in the verse are all plural, right? And except for the one verse Vayichan, that they encamped at the mountain. And so Rashi brings a very famous Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad. How do you explain that it was that this is in singular? Because they were all unified. But the Rav Tzadok says that's the fundamental precondition to receiving the Torah. Here in the underlined part of Rav Tzadok, it says, "V'al yidei zeh zachu lematan Torah," meaning without ke'ish echad v'lev echad, they were not zochet of the Torah, and that ties in exactly with everything we've been saying, right? That the whole point of the Torah is unity. If you don't have the unity, you don't get the Torah. Of course not, because the Torah is about teaching people about Ve'aftalecha Kamocha, about being unified. We are the Torah nation. That means that we have to love each other as ourselves, and we have to teach that message to the rest of the world. We can't do either of those if we don't accept that beforehand. So when we are counting the Sfirat HaOmer, we are basically transforming ourselves to be more caring about each other. Okay, that's the transformation. It's not a mourning period, it's a transformation period. And now, the best message that you can give is the loss of the Talmidim who didn't get it. Right? We are not mourning them, we are mourning their failure, which is our failure. We cannot get the Torah and be the Am HaTorah and be the Or LaGoyim if we don't get this message. Okay? And that's why we are walking around half shaven to send the message to each other that we need to remember to try and care about each other a little bit more. That we need to try to do this Ve'aftal Recha Kamocha. It's not easy. The greatest Talmidei Achamim, the leadership, the entire leadership under Rebbe Akiva. We're not talking about some side little thing, right? This is the peak of Judaism, of Jewish Jewish history and Jewish learning, and these people failed. Of course we're going to fail. We need to work hard. Now there's another interesting halacha which comes out of all of this in Sfirat HaOmer, which also gives us the same idea. Sefer HaChinuch says, "Mi sheshachach yom echad, yomar emesh hayu kach v'kach belo bracha, umone ha'achirim im kol Yisrael." So the Sefer HaChinuch tells us a mitzvah that we pretty much know, that you're supposed to count every day with a bracha, count the Sfirat HaOmer. And if you miss the day, so you keep counting, but you count without a bracha. Okay? Very nice, everybody knows this, but Rav Soloveitchik noticed something very interesting in the words of the Sefer HaChinuch. And he says like this, the very last phrase is noteworthy. Umone ha'achirim, the other days, im kol Yisrael. It suggests another dimension to maintain continuity. Despite having missed an entire 24-hour period, in addition to his own articulation of yesterday's count, he can ride on the coattails of all the other Jews who did count yesterday. He is, after all, part of the collective. So what we're saying here is that even within the very count of Sfirat HaOmer, we're emphasizing this idea of unity. We're emphasizing that even if you missed, you're still part of the game. You're part of the people, right? You know, it's funny, my kids, sometimes they try to count and stay with the bracha. And if they miss the bracha, if they miss the day, so they say, I'm out of the game, and they stop counting. No! It's not a game. You're still in the game. It's about being part of the Jewish people. You still count. Even if you're not saying the bracha, you are still part of the process. You are still part of the transformation. You are still part of getting to Sinai, Ke'ish Echad, B'Lev Echad. So I hope it's clear now what the answer to my friend is that we're not mourning and commemorating the deaths of anybody. You're 100% right. The Jewish people have suffered huge calamities throughout history, and they all are deserving of commemoration. We are not doing that. We are remembering a failure which continues to our very day and is what prevents the temple from being rebuilt, and that is the unity of our people to bring the message of unity to the whole world. Ve'afta recha kamocha. We should be zoche to turn these days of sfira that are avelut to day, like the Ramban said, of Chol HaMoed.
That was great.
Okay, one touch.